The penal sharia. The opportunity a man has to exercise his will is one of the greatest favors the Almighty has blessed him with. However, just as this freedom is a source of honor for him, its misuse is a source of dishonor for him, because from every instance of misuse emanates evil and disorder. In the history of mankind, the first manifestation of this evil took place through the hands of Cain, the son of Adam. Consequently, out of this incident arose the need to protect man from the evil of man. It was evident from the norms of sense and reason vested by the Almighty in human nature that the only way to shield man from such evil was to reform his environment and to educate and instruct people and to administer appropriate punishment. However, what should be the nature and extent of punishment for a specific crime? Since there is no basis in human intellect to determine these parameters, the Almighty Himself revealed His directives about these issues. Through His prophets, He gave mankind His Sharia, in which, besides other decrees, He divinely ordained the punishments of all the grave crimes concerning life, wealth, honor, and the collective system of a society. These major crimes are 1. Muharaba and spreading anarchy, 2. Murder and injury, 3. Theft, 4. Fornication, 5. Qazf. These are the crimes whose punishments have been divinely ordained by the Sharia. The punishments of lesser forms of the crimes mentioned above and the punishments of other crimes have been left by the Sharia to the discretion of those in authority, with one exception. The death sentence, according to the Quran, can only be given to a person who has killed someone or to someone who is guilty of spreading anarchy in the society. Similarly, spreading anarchy or fasad-filled earth is a term which refers to the situation when an individual or a group of individuals rebels against the law of the land, the Sharia of the Almighty, and attacks the life, wealth, honor, and freedom of expression of people. Consequently, when murder takes the form of terrorism, fornication becomes rape, and theft assumes the shape of robbery, or people take to prostitution, become notorious for their ill ways and vulgarity, become a threat to honorable people because of their immoral and dissolute practices, or rise against the government in rebellion, or create a law and order situation for the government by causing destruction, by becoming a source of terror and intimidation for people, by indulging in hijacking, and by committing similar grave offenses, then this is called spreading anarchy. The following four punishments are specifically prescribed for such criminals. 1. They should be killed in an exemplary manner. 2. They should be crucified in an exemplary manner. 3. Their limbs should be amputated from opposite sides. 4. They should be exiled. Some stipulations about these punishments, which constitute certain bounds and limits for them, have been mentioned in the Sharia as follows. Firstly, the Quran has given an Islamic state the flexible authority to administer any of these punishments, keeping in view the nature and extent of the crime, the circumstances in which it has been committed, and the consequences which it produces or can produce in a society. The relatively lighter punishment of exile is placed with the two very severe punishments of killing or crucifying people in an exemplary way, so that if circumstances are such that the criminal deserves any leniency, he should be given it. Secondly, if a gang of criminals has committed the crime, the punishment shall not be given to only some of the criminals, but to the gang as a whole. Consequently, if a gang of criminals, by spreading anarchy, is guilty of such crimes as murder, hijacking, fornication, sabotage, and intimidating people and similar crimes, there is no need to investigate exactly who among the gang actually committed the crime. Every member of the gang shall be held responsible for it and dealt with accordingly. Thirdly, while inflicting punishment upon such criminals, no feelings of sympathy should arise. The Almighty who created them has ordained complete disgrace and humiliation for them if they commit such crimes. This is the very purpose of these punishments and should always be taken in consideration. Fourthly, if such criminals come forward and give up themselves to the law before the government lays hands on them, then they shall be dealt with as common criminals. They will not be regarded as criminals of Muharaba or spreading anarchy. 2. Murder and injury. Taking qisas for the murder and injuries is an obligation imposed by the Almighty on an Islamic state. It guarantees survival to a society, and for Muslims it is in fact a divine law which can only be breached by those who wrong their souls. Consequently, it is the responsibility of the government that if someone is killed within its area of jurisdiction, it should search for the murderers, arrest them, and take qisas from them, stipulated by law. Complete equality should be observed in taking qisas. Hence, if the murderer is a slave, only that particular slave should be executed. And if the murderer is a free man, only that particular free man should be executed. A person's social status should never create an exception to this rule of equality, nor should it be given any weight in this regard. If the heirs of the slain or wounded person do not demand life for life, limb for limb, wound for wound, and want to show lenience to the criminal, then a judge can give him a lesser punishment, keeping in view the nature and extent of the crime and the circumstances in which it was committed. This is a favor and rebate by the Almighty to the criminal. Consequently, if the heirs of the slain or wounded show this compassion, then this shall become an atonement for their sins before the Almighty. In this case, the heirs of the slain or wounded person shall be given ziyat. The Almighty has said that it should be given according to the custom of the society and with kindness and goodwill. If someone is unintentionally murdered and the murdered person is a Muslim citizen of a Muslim state, or if he is not a citizen of an Islamic state but belongs to a nation with which a treaty has been concluded, it is necessary for the murderer who has not been forgiven to pay ziyat according to the custom of society and as an atonement for his sin, to repent before the Almighty and free a Muslim slave as well. However, if the murdered person is a Muslim belonging to an enemy country, the murderer is not required to pay ziyat. In this case, it is enough that he only free a Muslim slave to wash his sin. In both these cases, if the criminal does not have a slave, he should consecutively fast for 2 months. The man or woman who has committed fornication, both shall receive 100 stripes if their crime is proven in a court of law. The criminal should be given this punishment publicly, to humiliate him in front of the people and to make him a lesson for those present. The Quran directs the government of the Muslims or their course of justice to show no lenience in this regard. After this punishment has been carried out, no chaste man or woman should marry men and women who commit fornication. The Almighty has forbidden such marriages. This prescribed punishment is the utmost punishment which should be given only when the crime has been committed in its ultimate form and the criminal does not deserve any lenience as far as the circumstances of the crime are concerned. Consequently, criminals who cannot bear the punishment, have been compelled by circumstances, are without necessary protection, required to abstain from committing a crime, are all exempt from this punishment. 4. Qazf. There can be 2 forms of qazf. Firstly, a person accuses a chaste and righteous woman or man of fornication. Secondly, such an accusation takes place between a husband and wife. In the first case, the law of Islam is that the accuser shall have to produce 4 eyewitnesses. If the accuser fails to produce them, he shall be regarded as guilty of qazf. The punishment for such a criminal is that he shall be administered 80 stripes, and his testimony shall never be accepted in future in any manner. The Quran says that such criminals shall be regarded as a defiant in the eyes of God, except if they repent from their crime and reform themselves. In the second case, if no evidence is available, the matter shall be decided by pledging oaths. The husband shall swear 4 times by Allah that he is truthful in his accusation, and the 5th time he shall swear that the curse of Allah be on him if he is lying. In response, if the wife does not defend herself in any way, the prescribed punishment of fornication shall be administered to her. However, if she refutes the allegations, she shall only be acquitted from the punishment if she swears 4 times by Allah that the person is lying, and the 5th time she says that the wrath of Allah be on her if he is telling the truth. The same procedure shall be adopted if the wife accuses the husband. 5. Theft. The punishment of amputating the hands is prescribed for a thief. Whether the thief is a male or a female, if the crime is proven in a court of law, then his or her hand shall be cut from the wrist. Like the punishment of fornication, this punishment is also the utmost punishment and should only be administered when the criminal does not deserve any lenience as far as the nature and circumstances of his crime are concerned.